Oasis Audio presents When Your Parent Becomes Your Child by Ken Abraham. Read for you by Tim Lundeen. Chapter 1. The Men in White Suits. How is it possible to lose a loved one while he or she is still living, still sitting right in front of you, talking with you, smiling at you? And yet, the person you have known and loved for years is somehow gone. You observe the subtle quirks and idiosyncrasies that are occurring with ever-increasing frequency. Yet you are oblivious to the truth, that you are not dealing with the obstinacies or unintentional offenses of an elderly person. You are facing a devastating disease, and possess few tools with which to fight it. Others noticed the changes in my mom before I did. Dave Saunders, a friend who attends the same church as our family, observed Mom shuffling across the atrium toward the main sanctuary.
Did something happen to your mom?
No. What do you mean?
She seems to be moving much more slowly than when she was here visiting the last time, Dave observed.
Yeah, she's slowing down a step or two, I agreed. I hadn't really noticed the difference that much, since it was such a gradual process. But others who had not been around Mom could tell that she had changed. That was my first clue that something wasn't right. Mom's demeanor should have piqued my suspicions after the 13th phone call, all in the same morning, but I was oblivious to her true condition. She didn't really need anything, she just wanted to say hello, which she had done in calls number 1, 2, and 3, none of which she remembered dialing. The remaining calls were more of the same, all recorded on my voicemail.
Ken, this is Mom. Just wanted to let you know that I had a good breakfast, bacon and eggs, toast, and prunes, lots of prunes.
Oh, that's great, Mom. I'm glad you're eating well. The second call was identical to the first, and the 11th, 12th, and 13th calls brought little variation. My brothers had warned me, but I had steadfastly resisted the idea that my mother, now 85 years of age in 2007, was not as mentally alert as she had always been. Oh, sure, I had seen signs, but had chosen to interpret them as merely her quirky way of doing things. I hadn't lived near my mom for more than 20 years, so her idiosyncrasies and peccadilloes seemed more humorous than irritating to me. I'd noticed some paranoia whenever she'd visit us from Orlando, but I always shrugged off her fretting as simply the fears, real and imagined, of an elderly person who was in a strange environment. One night, around midnight, she called out for me.
Ken, there's a man standing down at the front of the driveway.
What? Huh? I was half asleep. No, Mom. There's nobody out there. Go back to bed.
He's right there, Ken. I can see him, plain as day.
I got out of bed and went to the window, not really expecting to see anything, but willing to check anyhow. I peered out the window into the darkness. Nothing. There's nobody there, Mom. Go to sleep.
I'm not going to sleep with some man down there staring in your windows.
Mom. I'm not sure which of us was more exasperated, Mom or me. She insisted somebody was snooping around our home, out at the front of our driveway.
He's right there, she fretted.
Mom, there's nobody out there, I said, emphatically, putting my glasses on so I could see more clearly, just to make sure.
Look, there he is, Mom said nervously. He's moving. He's over there now, standing right at the front of the driveway.
I pressed my face up closer to the window and rubbed my eyes as I stared into the darkness again. I didn't see a thing in the driveway, although I noticed the breeze blowing the treetops a bit, creating some unusual shadows on the ground. There was only one thing to do.
Sample complete. Ready to continue?